Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll start today with some big news out of the Boston Police Department. BPD Commissioner William Evans announced his retirement today. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh named Superintendent-in-Chief William Gross as the department's next commissioner. He'll be the first African-American ever to lead the Boston Police. Now, a little earlier today, Commissioner Evans formally announced he's stepping down. He was commissioner for 4 years, and he served a total of 38 years with the BPD. And in his remarks, Evans credited his success in leading the department to the officers who served under him.
You know, we've had some really tough obstacles over the last couple of years with the environment we've been operating in, whether it's, the Occupy Boston, the marathon bombing, the Black Lives Matter, the Charlottesville, and they've really shown this city proud. So I'm only as good as the people who I lead and have done a great job.
Well, WBUR reporter Fred Tice was at the press conference, and he joins us now. Hi there, Fred.
Hi, Meghna.
Well, first of all, WBZ had actually reported that Evans was planning to retire weeks ago, though the commissioner and the mayor both denied it at the time. Was today's announcement any surprise?
So, no. We've been expecting this for weeks, right?
Okay. Well, so then in that case, let's talk a little bit more about Commissioner Evans' career with BPD. He spent 38 years with the department. Tell us about some of the highlights.
Well, he started out as a patrolman out of the academy, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, superintendent. During the marathon bombings, he was not yet the commissioner, but he was right in the fray, leading the response. And since then, he has been... the commissioner, we've had a lot of protests in Boston, whether it be, as he pointed out, Black Lives Matter, or be the counter-protests to the so-called freedom of speech rallies that we've had on Boston Common. He's been the leader through very deft handling of protests by the Boston Police Department. The bicycle cops, making sure people go the right way, just making sure nobody goes on the interstate, not too many people getting arrested, not too many people getting hurt. And he today took the opportunity to bring out some statistics. So he said that over the last 18 years, major crime in Boston is down 18%. The statistic he's proudest of, he says, though, is a 23% drop in arrests. He didn't say over how many years, but he credits a community work for that. And he also cited the fact that use of force complaints are down 46% since 2013.
Mm. Now, what did Mayor Walsh then have to say at today's press conference?
Well, he doesn't think that Boston has seen a community leader as loved and respected as the incoming commissioner, William Gross. He says whenever he and Billy Evans and Willie Gross go out into the community, it's Gross who gets the attention from the folks in the community. He said that with this appointment, he's emphasizing the importance of consistency. He's pointing out that the numbers have been going the right way in Boston over the last few years, and he hopes that the first African-American police commissioner symbolizes progress for Boston.
My best recommendation is combine it. You know, on one day you're doing the strength stuff. You got 4 or 5 exercises that you like.
So that's the wrong cut. We'll see if we can pull up the mayor, actually. But while we try to find that soundbite, tell us a little bit more about Superintendent-in-Chief Gross's bio, his career.
So he's a child of a single mother who grew up here in Boston. Do we have a cut from him now, or so we can tell us the rest of his story?
Okay, so let's hear little technical difficulties here, but so let's listen to Superintendent Chief Gross talk about his career and his childhood.
I am a true street cop. I started in Dorchester in 1985. Before that, I was a cadet in 1983. Many calls from my mother worried because of the atmosphere at the time betwixt the communities and BPD. But if you want change, be the change. That's why I became a police officer. Dorchester, the gang unit, the drug control unit, academy instructor, a sergeant.
And then a detective sergeant. And then 9 years ago, he points out, appointed to the command staff. A story that I have to tell about him. The last time I met him was at the 12th Baptist Church. It was for the memorial services for Martin Luther King back in April. And he's very proud of showing young people from the community, his office, and bringing them in and showing them all these things that he's got in the office relating to African American history. He feels that young people in Boston do not understand African American history well enough and need to understand it better. And he sees himself in a role of helping them understand that history better.
Well, and in fact, he's making history himself right now as being the first African American commissioner when he begins that position for the Boston Police. So it looks like we have that tape now from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh today. So let's listen to what the mayor had to say.
Chief Gross is a proven leader who's trusted and respected in the community. He's a 33-year veteran of the department with a decade of experience on the command staff. He was Commissioner Evans' chief, as you know, for the last 5.5 years. He's led the Youth Violence Strike Task Force. He's been a night commander. He's been immersed in the day-to-day operations of the Boston Police Department with the major events that we have and also the anti-violence strategy.
So, Fred, did you get any reaction to the selection of Gross as the new commissioner?
Among the people who were there at City Hall for the announcement was Sheriff Stephen Tompkins, and he welcomes the choice.
This will send a message to not only the communities of color, but all kids, no matter the color of their skin, that if you work hard, you can achieve good things. And Willie has come up through the system, he's done it the right way, and he's been honored for that today by Mayor Walsh.
And finally, Fred, what's next for current and now retiring Commissioner William Evans?
He's going to be the police chief at Boston College.
Which WBZ also reported a couple of weeks ago.
Indeed.
Were they asked about that?
Were Evans and Walsh asked about that? The mayor was very defensive about it today. He was asked about it by the WBZ TV reporter, and he said that when BZ, because I guess you know he pushed back at the time, right? And mm-hmm. he said that the report was not accurate, and he insisted that at the time the report was not accurate because a deal had not been signed between Commissioner Evans and Boston College.
Splitting of hairs, if I might say. Well, that's WBR reporter Fred Tice. Fred, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to do it.
All right, we want to get more reaction then from the stepping down, the announcement of the retirement of Commissioner Evans, and the naming of Superintendent in Chief Gross as Boston's new police commissioner. So let's turn now to Daniel Linsky. He's the managing director for Kroll's Investigations and Disputes Practice. He's also a former superintendent in chief of the Boston Police Department himself. He served in that position between 2009 to 2014. Daniel Linsky, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Jamal Crawford. He's the creator and editor of Blackstonian, a news and commentary publication representing Boston's black community. Jamal Crawford, it's great to have you back as well.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I just want to hear briefly from both of you. What's your reaction to the now official news that Commissioner Evans is retiring? I'll start with you, Daniel Linsky.
I think, you know, Billy has put in long hours, long days. It's good for him and his family. I can tell you firsthand, going to the private sector from being in that role, senior leader of the Boston Police Department, it takes a toll. It's a lot of hours, a lot of days, a lot of time away from your family. So he has continued a great tradition. I think he's made Boston better as commissioner and his reign on it. I think he continued from the legacy of Bill Bratton that was passed to his brother Paul Evans, that was continued by Kathy O'Toole, was carried on by Commissioner Davis, and Billy has continued and carried that torch further down the field. I think our city is better. I think our police department is better than we were 20 years ago. And congratulations to him, and good luck in his new endeavor.
Well, in a second here, I want to dig a little bit into some of the challenges that Boston has faced while Evans was commissioner. But Jamal Crawford, just your first thoughts here.
Well, once again, we want to separate, the personal from the practical, if you will. So individually, great. Kudos, congratulations to both. I know for Commissioner Evans, this has long been rumored well before the couple of weeks. This has been a couple of years. A lot of people didn't even think he was going to come to the next round of the mayor's term. So this has been discussed for a long time. Chief Gross, of course, his ascension is a great thing as well. So we want to be congratulatory there. But at the end of the day, my main concern is how does that, translate into the relationship between the BPD and communities of color, particularly the black community? Mm. That's my concern.
Okay, so let's talk then a little bit about where BPD in Boston finds itself now at this sort of transition point between Commissioner Evans' tenure and soon-to-be Commissioner Gross's tenure here. First of all, for example, like a year or so ago, or a couple of years ago, there was some reporting around whether or not BPD was doing a good enough job around its clearance rate for non-fatal shootings, and we know they've been doing, there've been improvements in the homicide clearance rate for BPD. But I remember when Tito Jackson was running for mayor, he said that BPD wasn't doing a very good job, and Commissioner Evans was commissioner at the time, for these non-fatal shootings. And for example, I'll give you a number here. This is BPD's own number from 2017. They said the clearance rate for non-fatal shootings is up 1% from 2016, and as of 2017, it was just 21%. Now, other journalists in the city have claimed that it's even lower. Boston Magazine did an investigation through FOIA requests, and they found that through 2014 to through 2016, Boston police had arrested fewer than 4% of gunmen involved in non-fatal shootings. And I know that Commissioner Evans was pretty defensive about this reporting at the time. Dan Linsky, I mean, is there work yet to be done there?
There's always work to be done. We have kids that are engaged in violence in the community, and innocent people are being shot, and that isn't something we can tolerate. No one shooting is a good thing. The numbers, so statistics, 86% of all statistics are made up on the spot, right? 20% of the time. When you look at statistics and you compare it to other national models, if you compare Boston to cities and towns where they confirm, they think they have somebody, and they go to the district attorney and they say, we think, Dan Linsky did the shooting, and the DA says, you don't have enough evidence, we're not going to charge him. In some cities and towns, that's a clearance. That's not the case in Boston. We hold ourselves to a pretty high standard when we clear a case, and it's actually we're going to arrest somebody, put handcuffs on them, and actually take them off the street. So we weren't comparing apples to oranges. That being said, it is a challenge. And when you look at the types of shootings that don't get solved, they're very similar in nature. They involve individuals. There's a lot of involvement of individuals that have ongoing feuds going on for years. And it's a tough thing to crack. It's not going to be done by just arrest alone.
Jamal?
Speaking as one of those statistics, I was shot and have no idea who shot me. That was in 2004. it is a tough problem. How to deal with it, I don't know. What I do know is the word that you used, defensive, and it's the same word that you used as well in bringing in the comments from the mayor. I do know that any critique that seems to be levied at the BPD with this administration or any of the previous that I've engaged in, any critique is met with defensiveness. And I think that is something that we need to get away from and needs to be examined. And I think it should be embraced as a tool to make things better.
Do you think that's possible now that, not to foist too much responsibility on incoming Commissioner Gross, but do you think that is more possible now because he is a person of color, he is a black man, and that will those conversations be more likely?
No. As the black man on the panel, I really hate to do this because this is where, once again, we want to separate the personal. So congratulations to William Gross. Congratulations to him individually. But that would have not been my pick for commissioner if given that choice. I think that what we miss here is a process, a community process. At one point, I was exploring, how's the best way to get a commissioner? At one point, I was exploring, should we have an elected commissioner? People show me the error of that logic. But then the thing is, can we have a community process similar to what they did for the superintendent? Maybe there's a search committee. These people have to attend forums. It would have been nice to have a pick from candidates, and I'm uncomfortable with them emerging from rank and file anyway because there's too many allegiances and relationships there.
Dan Linsky, you have a thought, a response or thought to that?
I think the community has to be invested in the process of who the chief is and who the commissioner is. I think there's been a process going on for 5.5 years where Willie has gone out day in, day out, engaged the community. It's a relationship he's had for 30-plus years as a police professional, and I think he's been doing that. And if there were challenges with him being able to reach out and being able to be responsive, we would have probably heard them by now, and he probably wouldn't have gotten the position he obtained as chief, and he probably wouldn't have maintained it as chief if he couldn't respond to community concerns. We've seen police chiefs of color, who lost their careers during high-profile incidents in the United States in the last couple of years. Look at Tony Batts from Baltimore. One of the leading premier police chiefs in the country. And, issues happen, incidents happen, and very quickly he was out of that job and moving on his way. So Willie's got big shoes to fill. He's got some big feet. He's been standing on them for a couple of years. I think he'll do a great job. I think he will double down on the relationships with the community. He knows the officers out there that agree with his I was on the command staff with Ed Davis. We selected Willie to come on as our command staff member. And it was because, one, not only was he a good cop who could bang doors and arrest bad guys, but he also treated people with respect.
Mm. So I'm going to talk about Commissioner Evans here again for another second, but Jamal Crawford, let me turn back to you, because I want to be sure that I'm understanding what you're saying correctly. Are you saying that you don't actually think it matters for Boston, in whatever way you want to define it, that the new police commissioner, that the city is going to have its first police commissioner who's a black man, a black officer? You say it doesn't matter.
No, I don't want to say it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a great history. Once again, great for him, great for the point in history, right? That's great. What I'm more concerned with, however, is competence. And as you'll hear the accolades and all this come in, everybody's going to say he's a nice guy, very personable, great, da-da-da. I could dispute the relationship with the community, because while you could pull 30 people who say they like him and they think he's great, there's also 30 people. You haven't heard any comments from any of the leading community people who have dealt with policing over the years. Where's the NAACP on this? This is the first time that I've been asked about it. I think that what we need to do is develop a criteria, and being a nice guy and personable and everybody likes you, that doesn't cut the mustard for
so
me.
So actually, you bring up an interesting point. I want listeners to know that we reached out to the Boston branch of the NAACP. We also reached out to the Massachusetts ACLU, and no one was able to join us today, but I can't tell if it's because lots of people are on vacation or some other reason. But we did make those calls, and over the coming days and weeks, when they can join us, we'll definitely have them on the show. Back to Commissioner Evans for a second here. We were looking over his career as commissioner, those 4 years. And Dan Linsky, it seemed to me that the times with which he faced more considerable pushback over certain BPD programs or actions had a lot to do with surveillance and technology and modern policing here. I mean, there was the use of license plate readers, which they had to end that program and make some significant changes in line with ACLU recommendations, and they brought that program back online. That Stingray cell phone spy technology that BPD had used, social media surveillance. I mean, these are all things that BPD was doing, and then we discovered that they were doing, and Commissioner Evans received a lot of pushback for that. I'm wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, I think definitely those initiatives could have been rolled out better in the BPD and in many departments. And those are lessons hard learned by police officials across the country. I agree with Jamal that, as we're policing the community, the first thing we have to do is come to them and have a conversation. We talked months ago about rifles, and at the time, the city wasn't for it, and I was for it. And when I tried to put a program together, one of the things I wanted to do was to bring in Jamal and other members of the community, bring them down to the range, show them what we could do with the rifles, what we wouldn't do, get their input on how our program be developed. I also had to go to the unions and tell them we were going to change working environments. I went to the unions first. It got out to the Boston Globe before we had a chance to engage the community. And as such, the community was outraged, rightfully so. And that program went away, and it's now come back over time. But those programs definitely need to be rolled out with full community engagement. Now, let's talk about drones. I think there is a place for drones. State police are doing accident reconstruction in 30 minutes as opposed to hours of keeping something shut down. But every time a drone gets released anywhere, it should be notified to the city and tracked, and the video, if not helpful for something, should be released.
But are we going to get that engagement, though? Because just today we were remembering that we were promised last month a final report on the body cam pilot program. It was supposed to come out in June. We called BPD today to ask if that had happened and we had somehow missed it. And they said no. And also, they don't know when the final report's going to come out. So, I mean, it's yet another question. It's another sort of example of how goalposts seem to be keep shifting. There is a transparency issue. I mean, like, how are we going to get to a more community engagement, more transparency?
It sounds like a thing that Chief Gross, who now is Commissioner Gross, might want to tackle first couple weeks on the job and make sure that those issues that are concerns for the community that still haven't been answered are doubled down and they get the information as quickly as possible with input from them.
Okay, I have the utmost respect for you, but I'm going to call that an artful dodge. I mean, you were a member of the BPD for years, all the way up to superintendent in chief. You know that department inside and out. Tell me honestly, what is it going to take to make it more transparent and that higher level of engagement we're talking about?
It's going to take someone who has people around him that share the same sense of urgency. Sometimes initiatives get shared with people and, get put on the back burner if you're not the one driving it. So it's going to take someone who drives that initiative home.
Jamal Crawford, go ahead.
This is why hiring from rank and file bothers me. As you stated, been on the force since 1985. Do we think he's made some friends in that time?
Gross, you're talking
about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Allegiances, maybe. My buddy I went to the academy with. So I think it more bolsters kind of the nepotism, the good old boy network that goes on. And I really don't like seeing a rank and file blue shirt, as we call him, an officer, to become a commissioner. I really prefer someone who's more administrative administrative minded, even in the cases of Ed Davis and Kathleen O'Toole, who came from outside of the force, so are not maybe as beholden to the Boston political dynamic and some of the very insular stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on in the BPD with unions and pressure and relationships and friendships. And I don't know that Gross is going to be able to navigate those in a way that benefits the community. At the end of the day, once again, that's my concern. His top issue has now has to be community policing and community relations. The BPD, one thing I could say when everybody is patting themselves on the back, we're the best force in the country and all that. Okay, whatever. That may be here nor there. The BPD does a good job at what police departments are supposed to do. So let's give them that. Now that we give them that, let's put that to the side, right? So now let's look at what do we do badly. Right? What do we do poorly? So now that's the part that needs to be repaired. If I get shot and I also have a hangnail, the ambulance is going to focus on the gunshot first, not the hangnail. So community relationships and community relations and community policing, that is the part that needs to be dealt with and repaired first. We know that the other stuff's going to happen.
We've got a couple seconds, but Dan Linsky, I see an affirmative shaking of your head there.
I agree. And, you know, we talked about statistics early, front shelf shootings. There was a young man shot in Franklin Field, young 3-4-year-old child, hundreds of people there. No one was able to come forward and tell us the information. We went, myself included, and others, knocked on doors around the neighborhoods, and we got the person's name. We didn't charge him with the shooting, but we put investigations together and charged him with firearms trafficking and drug trafficking and took him off the streets probably longer than we would have got for just the shooting. So I agree. It starts with relationships. It's finished with relationships. And hopefully Willie will enhance the relationships he currently has and move forward.
Well, Daniel Linsky is managing director for Kroll's Investigations and Disputes Practice, and he's also former superintendent-in-chief for the Boston Police Department. Thanks so much for joining us again. And Jamal Crawford, editor and creator of The Blackstonian, a news and commentary publication that focuses on Boston's black community. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.